right. Well, welcome to Flip Your Friday. I'm your host, Wynn Silverman. This is my co-host, Casey LeBlanc. I'm super excited here today. I have an amazing guest, Casey. This guy's name is Marlon Webb. He is a social media guru, influencer, actor. He's all these jacks of trades. I don't know actually how to describe him, but I will tell you he's engaging, entertaining, and a super cool fella. And thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you for the message.
You're welcome for the message. And Marlon, this is what I'd like to do just to kind of break the ice, so to speak. You don't know why you're here, and you don't really know anything about this podcast. All you said is, I said, will you? You said yes.
Yeah.
And so what I'd like to do, Case, if you don't mind just kind of starting with a little bit of an origin as to why we're here and what this podcast is about, then I'd just like to jump right in and have a conversation and see if anything transpires that's good that we can post on Instagram or something. I don't know.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, with that intro, so
I was waiting for something dramatic to be dropping, like, so we're going to have to take off our pants.
And I'm open to that.
We usually like to get, that's usually 15 minutes into the podcast.
It was built up to something like, okay, well, what's about to happen?
They say in a podcast the first 5 minutes is critical to keep somebody listening.
Well, I've been told that foreplay is critical, so I thought that maybe that was... Never mind. Can you start talking about the origin?
Been told that.
So I guess for those people listening, we're recording on a Saturday. So the point of the podcast is doing stuff that others aren't willing to do. So all three of us are technically working on a Saturday, but I don't really consider this work. But let's have some fun with it. The podcast is about understanding your life, the successes that you've had, how you've gotten there. What are some of the things that are different that you're able to do that you may not even understand or recognize that we can glean, some of the listeners can understand, and just what are those things that are different that maybe somebody else can learn from?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just jump in. So we know based on our brief meeting before we sat down that you came to L.A., in 2016, and you come from Massachusetts. Tell me a little bit about that transition from hometown to L.A., and then where you were. Again, I thought it was interesting. You said, I'm not an influencer. I'm an entertainer. I do, I act. I do a lot of things. So I think Wynn is also curious, just like I am. Yeah. Well, how would you, if somebody asks you, what do you do? How do you respond to that? What's the question? And then we can get into the L.A.
Let's start with origin first. So you're from
Got
Mass.
You. So we're starting with the origin.
Yeah.
But and then the other things, you might have to remind me.
Don't you worry. Yeah, okay, cool. We'll get there. Yeah.
So the origin story. I'm from Massachusetts. I started making vines in Massachusetts in 2013. I bought my first smartphone because of Vine.
What was Vine? For some of our audience probably doesn't know what Vine
so
is.
So Vine was an app where people could drop 6-second videos that would loop, and it was pretty much the first TikTok.
And was that your first social media platform?
Yeah, to make content.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so in 2013, you recognize, hey, making content can be something.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I saw other Viners doing it and becoming famous for doing, you know, jokes, but they weren't crazy. So I felt like I could do that too. I was watching them post their videos, and I would see their videos pop up on Facebook and compilations and stuff, and people would always be talking about this Viner and that Viner, and I would watch them, and they were funny. Don't get me wrong. Everyone was funny and talented, but I was also like under the impression, like, okay, this is dope, but I think I can do this too, and I love making skits myself. So I bought a Android because of Vine. Probably wasn't the best choice for Vine, though, to buy an Android. I didn't know. Because when you had an Android in Vine, you could tell you got an Android.
you can still tell you have Android.
Yeah, you could tell.
The green pop-up is a giveaway,
So do you still have an Android? Videos from back in time.
Do you still have an Android?
No,
you
flip I don't got it? An Android. Okay. Yeah. I realized my mistake, halfway through the year, like, oh, okay. These look like they're from the past. All these videos look like they're from the past. But, yeah. So I started doing Vine, and nothing really hit for a while. There was one Vine that I did that is kind of a cool story. My girlfriend at the time, but she revined me and
revined you.
Yeah, revining is like reposting, like retweeting. Yeah.
I'm just thinking
repost. And that helped me start getting followers and stuff like that. So it gave me a little bit, okay, cool. I can get
going. She a little more prominent and she
So I kept going with that. Still nothing crazy happened. I was just still trying to figure out how to land a joke and tell a joke properly in 6.5 seconds.
Yeah.
And then after, I think it was a year and a half, maybe 2 years or a year and a half, I don't know, things started taking off on Vine. And I started making money. I signed with a company called Collab Studios. Shout out to Collab Studios. They would basically just collect all my monetization from videos that ended up on YouTube or other websites and platforms.
Let's stop real quickly. Yeah. You're monetizing.
Yeah.
The creative is finally getting paid.
Yes.
Right? Explain that to me. Was there a formula for Vine, or how did you get paid? You get 30% or you get so many followers. How did you get paid? How did you measure that?
Well, I couldn't really measure it at first.
Okay.
It was more on Collab Studios to measure that out.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So I didn't really see where the numbers were coming from. Mm. But I was taking anything. I'll take a dollar.
Yeah.
If I can make a Vine for $1, great.
At the time, how many followers, just so somebody at home can understand?
I was just over 100K. Okay. On Vine, and that's when I got signed to Collab Studios.
Okay.
And, yeah, they just started sending me checks once a month for videos that ended up other places. And they would collect the monetization from that and send it to me, and that was great. And after about a year of doing that, I was starting to make good money. And good money at the time was just more money than my job at the time. I remember I got a check for $4,000. I was like, ooh, shit.
Is this legal?
By the way, I'm having fun.
Yeah. I had no idea that check was out. I mean, they were slowly getting bigger, but when I got a $4,000 check, I was like, oh, shit.
And what was your day job at the time?
I was an ABA therapist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. I worked with children with autism.
Wow.
Great job. Cool. Yeah.
Awesome.
But I started making more money on Vine than that after that paycheck, and I had to come to a choice. Do I keep working, or do I just put all my attention on Vine? So it was kind of a difficult choice just because, you know, doing an ABA therapy job, it's more than just the money. You have like a person.
There's a connection.
Yeah, you work
with health. It's healthcare.
Well, you work with I have students that I work with one-on-one. So when I'm quitting the job, I'm not just saying to the office I'm out. I'm saying telling the family
there's humans involved,
and yeah, and the kids that I was working with. Hey, I'm not coming back to work because I'm taking a job elsewhere. That was a little bit of a struggle. So I quit that job and I started focusing on Vine full time. After I started focusing on Vine full time, the numbers started going up. And then I had to come to another decision. Do I stay in Massachusetts and do this? Or do I go to LA to where everyone's at?
Yeah, what was the thought process for wanting to go to LA? Was it that was it just instinctual that, well, look, everybody who's an entertainer who's worth a shit has to be in LA to get to the next level? Was it instinctive, or did you study this, or what was the process for you thinking that you had to go to LA?
What you just said, that was it. That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, Massachusetts is not really people at the time. There wasn't people making content like that.
Yeah.
You know, there was probably, I don't know, three other Viners in the state and I knew them,
wow.
You know? So it wasn't that hard, but it was a harder choice leaving my job than leaving Massachusetts.
When did Vine go out? Like, how does that work? Because if your whole career at that point is in Vine eventually goes away, right?
Yeah.
And so walk me through, did you recognize that was going to happen? Had you already moved into another platform?
Were you in LA by the time?
Yeah, so I was in LA by the time, yeah.
Okay.
I was in LA.
Now you're in LA.
Yeah, I was in LA in 2016. Vine was still alive. And I was still making some Vines, but I also, working with more influencers out in LA, you hear the scoop on things,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I knew Vine was dying well in advance. So I was already making my transitions onto Instagram and trying to make more YouTube videos and whatnot, preparing myself financially and also just strategizing, all right, this is what I'm going to do when Vine dies, way before it actually died.
Can you tell us how many followers you have on Instagram, YouTube, and if there are any other platforms? Or how, collectively, when you create content, How many people are seeing it typically? And again, that's maybe a different question, but yeah. How many, you know, we talked about that, but how many followers do you have right now?
I got 1.3 million on Instagram. I have 2 million on TikTok, and I have over 500K on YouTube. And I had a Facebook page with over a million, but I ended up selling that page because you can do that too.
Wow.
And wow. Let's start over. So follow me on Facebook. I'm brand new.
So when you sell, that is interesting. I've never actually heard of that.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. I think I've got 14 followers. There's 14 friends. Well,
12 friends.
I think I still got to follow up with them because I still have a page. I think the page just posts those viral videos of, how to or crazy footage of a car accident, videos like that you'll see on Facebook.
That's dig into that too at some point. I want to keep going with our flow. Yeah. But the thing is, I mean, look, there's even AI for some of these celebrity pages, right? So it's not even, it's AI, and AI has learned how to act like you, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, but let's not go there yet. Cause now you're now, look, you've made a good decision implicitly because already have your ear on the ground, and you've already earned the collective wisdom of the social media influencers in LA that told you that Vines was going down. So you've prepared yourself. Now you've transitioned to Instagram. Now where are we? Cause you're making good money at that. Are you making even more money than you were in Massachusetts at this point with Vines and all that? Or?
Yeah. Well, at the time I'm still getting paid for Vines that are still out there.
And was it steadily increasing?
Yeah. Good. Yeah. So after Vine died, Vines didn't go away on YouTube and other platforms. They were still there. People making compilation videos still. And I still get money for Vines to this day.
Wow.
You know,
residuals.
Yeah. That was just still increasing. And then I started doing more sponsor videos on Instagram and stuff like that. So money's increasing, and I got all the time in the world to shoot stuff. I'm in LA. I'm around people that I want to work with. It was dope. The only thing I would say that wasn't dope about it is for the first time in my life not having a job. You know what I mean?
And you didn't like that?
I do. Oh, I love it. It's great, but you gotta kind of learn how to manage that. Yeah. I was wild. If I was like, I didn't know, I didn't have any real structure. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because when you're an entrepreneur, you have no job. You just work for yourself. You have to get yourself up in the morning, and you have to make the phone calls, and you have to set your appointments and all that. And
all your life, you've been told what to do, in a way.
Exactly. Yeah. All my life, I've been told what to do.
Well, so I'm curious on, we've talked about the entrepreneur side, but it's also different when you're a creative and an entrepreneur, because, you had mentioned to me that you're your own manager, your own business development, your own creative. So how do you manage all of that? So now that you have all these platforms, are you creating different content for different platforms, or how are you getting sponsorship deals? Walk us through the...
I'm still trying to walk myself through it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because I'm doing that right now. And I don't really have a structure. I just do shit. I just check my email in the morning.
Yeah, but you have, you consistently go viral, for example, right? I mean, there's things, are there four pivotal moments in your social influencing career where you went, that hit?
Yeah.
Give me an example.
Was there one? Like a...
No, there was a few.
Okay.
A few
give an hit. Example. Like, give me a sense of what that means.
So I did a video for Facebook. Because we were also transitioning onto Facebook at the time, too, because we weren't sure if Instagram was going to hit either. So people were making Facebook videos, just regular Facebook 15-second videos on there. And I made a video called Band of the Bold. Weak title, but I couldn't think of anything at the time. Like, I was thinking of a title right before I posted it. I'm like, what should I call this? Band of the Bold? Yeah, they're not going to read that title. Who cares? It was just a video of me and two of my friends running around West Hollywood in weird outfits. And we had a strange running style where we, like, kick our knees and elbows up at the same time. And just try to look as ridiculous as we can. Somehow that video hit and got... I think 40 million views on my page. Wow. But then other big pages picked it up and it got hundreds of millions of views. I don't know how, but it just did. And that one hit. So we did five of those.
Now, was that the dance? Was there a running back or, in the NFL that did that mirrored a dance of yours, or am I just making that?
Yeah,
shit?
Yeah. I think what? You sent me that video.
Yeah.
What was it? Mike Davis?
Mike Davis.
Yeah. He was a running back. He scored a touchdown.
I mean, so now you have NFL players mimicking your dance. That's got to feel just a little different.
It's weird. It's weird because, you know, I don't come from a entertainment background. I've never been famous, you know, and I also saw that show up on Fortnite. There was a whole thing there with Fortnite, and it was in the game where, like, people were sending you clips of it, like, yo, Marlon, that's your thing, it's in the game.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Do you get recognized in L.A.?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Okay. Is that weird? Is that odd, or do you like it?
No, well, I was definitely awkward about it at first. I was so awkward. It was just because I didn't know how to handle it. It's just one time, and I'm not an A-list celebrity by any means, right? But there was one time where a girl, probably a high school girl, just freaked out. And she, like, started crying and stuff. And I'm like,
I didn't do it.
What did I? Yeah. first thought is, I'm looking around like, do people see this? Am I good right now?
Yeah.
I'm in the mall. So, like, I think I'm safe. But I didn't know how to react. Like, what do I do? Do you want me to make you laugh? Like, say a joke? I don't know.
Dance.
Yeah. It's like
that awkward hug. Or,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Are you okay?
I didn't really know how to react. And I would have, like, little moments like that where I'm just not good at being a famous person.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, but in L.A., it's a little bit easier because people don't really care about you as much.
Yeah.
There's
everybody's doing their own thing.
Yeah, everyone's doing their own thing, and there's other celebrities to...
Yeah,
to look at. But then even with them, like, people see celebrities in L.A., it's like, cool.
Right.
For the
right.
most part, like, I got right. my own thing going on, well, whatever.
And here's what's fascinating. We talked a little bit at lunch about this. So, look, you've already said right now that you're not an entertainer. You've said that. And then we talked about, you know, well, you're – what is a social media influencer? Well, what is
not an influencer?
I didn't. I don't consider myself a social media influencer.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Entertainer,
yeah.
For sure. Like, right. Yeah. And, I mean, this might be a little bit egotistical to say I'm not a social media influencer, even though I know I am. I know I am. But I think there's a – I guess there's a different take on it with me just because I don't – do the traditional social media thing where I follow trends or post social media styled videos. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question really quick, because it goes to that point. Do you feel like when you're creating, I'm super curious about this, is what goes into it when you look at how many people are following you? Is it easier when you have less followers or more followers? Or how does that creative side work of what message, or is it just completely fucking random?
Yeah, it's completely random.
Is it?
But that's a good question, though, because there was one point where I was starting to think, as I was starting to get a lot of followers, like, all right, I have to
perform.
Kind of
it almost
perform.
Like you get in your head, right?
Well, it's like Chappelle, yeah. Right? He kind of freaked out when he got his first multi-million-dollar contract, right? Just stopped, right?
Yeah, I can't
be
myself.
Forced to being
and
him.
You, so you did feel that?
Yeah.
To some degree.
Yeah,
okay.
To some degree I did. And I also felt like I had to, like, change some of my content to be a little bit more acceptable to the masses and just try to walk on the line and keep my career going as professionally as possible, you know? And that's bullshit.
Yeah. So, no staying down that vibe,
that's bullshit.
Because I think it's interesting. So, how long did it take you to recognize it, and what'd you do to...
How did you fight through it?
Yeah, how'd you fight through
that? That's a true an issue. I mean, that's an issue of identity, where you've generated success.
For your job, that's like breaking...
You've
tearing
lost
your
ACL identity.
As a running
back.
It is. It right. is. How did
you've
you fight
lost your identity
that?
As a running... Literally, I mean, you get to a point where if you start making videos for your audience, and this is not for all influencers, obviously, but when you start making videos for your audience and you start changing who you are to be accepted for large groups of people, whatever, you're going to get depressed. You're going to get real depressed. And sometimes, I mean, obviously depression is not good, but sometimes it can be when it decides to change your mind about you and yourself, and that's pretty much what happened there.
So do you actually... felt depressed.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I got real depressed.
How long did that last?
And I'm happy, because it's kind of a funny thing to talk about with a smiling face. Yeah, I got depressed. Because it was also a time where it kind of gave me a clear mind to just change my ways of doing things.
Would you categorize this as a moment of adversity?
Yeah.
Right?
It wasn't finding the words, but yeah.
Well, so I think it's interesting, right? Because I think a lot of people see social media and they're like, everything is perfect, everything. And so it's interesting to talk to someone who's a social media influencer.
Yeah.
And they're actually feeling internally not perfect. I think people, can when they hear that, will be moved, right? Because everything looks so perfect. The pictures, the filters, the videos edited.
It looks like the best thing ever.
It's the best thing ever. Yeah. But then actually people that are that have these million, and a lot of people think, oh, I want 1 million followers, or I want 2 million followers. And once you got to that 2 million, it actually started to
become
influence.
A prisoner in a way.
That's
and
really
you're letting your followers dictate who you are and what you're going to put out.
And,
you're
and also, by the way, you have opinions on your comments of whether it was good or bad. This sucks. I mean,
they're giving you like critiques and stuff. And
so, what do you do? Like, okay, so how long does that last? Just get ballpark.
What part?
That part where you feel depressed and you're having that identity crisis. Yeah. What do I post? Do I do it for the followers or to mainstream? How long? Just to give us an idea.
Blanketed over maybe two years.
Wow, that's a long time.
That's difficult.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not just you're in a dark cloud for a whole 2 years.
No, but
it's
you're like not feeling yourself.
Yeah. Two or maybe 3 years. I don't know. But
yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So you come out of it, and what gives you the realization? You're like, you know what? I'm getting back to
me. Where did you feel like you were yourself again? Yeah. What happened? How did you resolve this?
Yeah. I'm like thinking about it now. How did I? Well, I mean, first I lost some weight.
I saw that video. That was awesome too, by the way.
Yeah,
thank you. I went down the rabbit hole yesterday. I was like, this fucking guy is it's crazy because it's all kinds of different stuff, right? Yeah. All kinds of different. The one you were on a date, not to go into too much, but it was funny. And so I'm sitting there, and my girlfriend's next to me, and she's like, "What are you listening to?" Because she couldn't see the videos, and it was just literally after work on a Friday, and she was like, "What the hell are you doing over there?" Yeah. It was you with a girl, with the waiter. And then the guy gets out of the truck, and he's got the big thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a fun one. That was a fun one.
My girlfriend didn't know what I was watching at that point. Yeah, it was good.
That's a normal reaction.
Yeah. So tell us, walk us through, you come out of it in 3 years. Was
coming
it
just, out. I would say coming out. Okay. Because you don't just come out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
But one thing was health. One thing was feeling better physically.
Yeah. That was one step. Yeah. And, it's one thing that's become more easier to manage, you know what I mean? But that was one step. And another step was not looking at comments anymore.
Wow.
And people, that can come off the wrong way, you know, when you don't look at comments anymore, don't respond.
God forbid
you
turn comments off. Yeah. Like, there is that button where you can just press.
So you
have you ever been do that?
I've been wanting to, but like, I don't want, I but mean.
It's part of the experience, though, right?
You gotta let them comment. Yeah. I mean, I can't take that from them. You know what I mean?
It's disengaging.
Yeah, it is. But at the same time, it also can come off a little bit, I don't know, egotistical of you to like not respond ever, you know? And I've been asked that before, like, yo, why don't you comment back to your followers? You don't say anything to them. It's kind of fucked up, you know? And I'm like, well, I'm actually doing it for my mental health. So
yeah. You know. Wow, that's great. So let me ask you a question. Not commenting is different than not looking. Do you look? Do you have to look? I mean, how does that work? Because that's
not really. I don't really look. I can't say I don't look all the time. But
that's
an issue. I don't really look.
Okay. That's an issue of progression, though. Would you say that you used to always look?
Yeah.
And so you've learned that part of your mental health is to literally not look at what other people have to say, which is, I think, profound in a way. I mean, that's how you lead. From my perspective, I don't give a fuck what people say about me. I'm going to do what I do. Exactly. And I hope that I'm going to do the best I can at what I'm doing
forward. I understand your point, but it's interesting to see the transition of when you're first starting and in the world of putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
It's almost like being a comedian is the laughter is your fuel of to know whether or not you're doing a good job. It's almost like the comments.
It's a litmus test, yeah.
Well, it could be perceived as that from your eye. And again, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm assuming based on in the beginning stage of your career, you're looking, and then you realize, I don't know if this is good for me. Now I don't want to look because it's actually a detriment to my creative,
to my health, yeah, even too.
So yeah. I do well
because as much as people will say like, "Oh, I don't care what nobody thinks of me."
Exactly,
you're gonna.
That's what I think. That's kind of bullshit on his end. Yeah,
that's yeah. All right.
Thanks. Thank you for acknowledging. Yeah, that. Yeah. He's really full of shit. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. So
no, that's interesting. Okay, so let me ask you a question, just yeah, based on your knowledge of you're in this world of influencers in LA. Do most influencers have the self awareness to know that maybe something is off on my creative and I'm depressed? Or is it just kind of people in la la land? Like, I guess when we look at it, they're like, mm-hmm, we don't know. So give us a little insight into what the influencer world is like. What's the mental health of these folks, and give us some idea of the LA lifestyle.
Well, the short answer is they won't talk about it, you know, and we don't know for the most part. But with my small circle of friends, because, you know, being in LA for a little bit, you start to realize having a small circle of friends is way better for your mental health as well. Another mental health tip, have a small circle of friends. And, I think they all have their ups and downs. You know, they all go through their struggles that people don't know about. And same goes for them. It looks like everything's all dandy on the outside, but people have their dips, you know, and that's more real. And social media kind of creates this false perspective and narrative on social media influencers and celebrities too, of everyone with a following, you know, like everything's just always good. People post their highlight reels all the time.
Yeah.
So when people aren't doing as good as a social media influencer, because it looks like they're doing good all the time, same with celebrities and everyone.
Yeah.
You start to compare yourself like, ah, damn, they're doing good all the time and I'm not.
Interesting. You know?
So even influencers are looking around, like, follower counts, and you think everything is
influencers
good.
Looking at too, like, oh wow, he got that deal, he's doing that. I don't have that. You know,
it's kind of like an imposter syndrome of like when you do certain things, you're like, I don't know if I feel like I belong here, or you're competing or something like that. Is that okay? Interesting. So you come out of it, and now you're creating content, and you're back and doing the thing, like, when from a content perspective. Now you recognize, like, all right, I'm coming out of feeling like a little confused on what was going on.
Yeah.
What changed in your content?
I stopped playing it safe as much. And the main focus became, don't make anyone laugh, make your friends laugh. So if I make a video, I'm trying to make specifically one of my friends laugh. Huh. You know?
Yeah.
Is that a complete change in what you were doing?
Yeah.
Because it sounds pretty specific.
It is. Because I think before, like, you know, I was a funny guy, but at the same time, I would resort to what I know people will get a reaction out of, as opposed to what's actually genuinely funny. And I noticed getting reactions is just so easy. So easy. To a point where, you know, I could make a video about anything and get a crazy reaction just if I just take all my clothes off and throw some shit at the wall. You know what I mean? That's too easy.
Yeah.
But when you stop thinking about the reaction that you're going to get and start thinking about, you know, you and your group of friends, like, what do you guys laugh about? What do you find funny? And that's you. Now, that's
do you have a personal definition of humor? Like, how would you define humor?
You can't really. I mean, it's whatever makes you laugh. It's an opinionated thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's no.
It's subjective.
Yeah. Which is another conversation in itself when people try to tell somebody they can't make a joke about this and that. It's like, yo, funny is an opinion. Sorry. Funny is an opinion. Like, whether you like it or not. Like, obviously, there's some jokes that are like, okay, that's probably too far. But at the same time, it's still an opinion.
So that's a great point. So let's talk a little bit about where the world is today.
Yeah.
And how content and this idea of making people laugh, but also appealing to the masses, and where, you know, social media, it's dangerous out there. It's the wild, wild west, and everybody can see everything at all times. So how do you look at that? How do you look at the world right now in social media when you create content? And because you do push envelopes a little bit,
yeah,
and you're trying to make people laugh, and I think people, it's hyperbolic right now. They have an opinion about everything, and if you make one, if you say one wrong thing, they're going to jump on you for it. So how do you think about that?
Well, first, I guess I don't.
Yeah.
As silly as that sounds, I mean, my decision thinking about that is, all right, I'm not going to think about this. Yes. And I know where my heart's at. I know where my mind's at. I know I'm not a bad person, and I know I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings. So at the end of the day, if I make a joke that offends somebody, I didn't make that joke to offend you. You got offended by that joke. And people are going to get offended by jokes. That's okay. And people, for some reason, don't think that's okay.
That's the role of a comedian.
I got jokes. There's been jokes that I've been offended by, too, but I'm, you know, that's okay. It's normal to be offended by things. Like, I feel like Twitter and just the world in itself right now is trying to tell comedians, like, you can't do this because nobody's allowed to be offended. You can't have that emotion.
Boundaries.
What do you mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's a crazy world right now. You're absolutely right.
Everyone can be offended. That's okay, though.
They need to learn that it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even with someone getting attacked on stage, right? I mean, that is just insane.
They've crossed a barrier like that never happened before, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm interested. I'm curious to see what your perspective, like with the Chappelle stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
With the transgender community trying to come after him on that. Uh-huh. What was your take on that? Because I would assume as an artist and as a comedian, that rubbed you a certain way. Like, you were probably, were you concerned about the reaction that he grabbed from that?
Well, I wasn't concerned about Dave because we all know Dave's gonna be fine,
right?
You
right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right. Right. Dave's no, gonna be fine. From a real visceral perspective, but, you as an artist,
yeah. You know? Well, yeah, I was definitely curious of how that was gonna go down and what was going to happen after that.
Yeah.
What if there was gonna
there be limits?
Yeah, is there gonna be limitations and whatnot? And
Doesn't it also show you, like, if Dave Chappelle can get attacked, the biggest of the big, and he wants to be risque, and then he's attacked on social media, he's attacked on stage, you know what I mean? Like, does that become, like, nerve-wracking to you as a comedian?
Not
it can't really. Be if you want to survive as a comedian.
Yeah, you gotta know that's going to happen.
Yeah,
you know? And, like I said, it's okay to be offended, and I do think that when it comes to, like, crazy wild jokes, like, you know, you're not going to put that on ABC or you're not going to put that on the Disney Channel, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's places for it, you know? And when a comedian is making jokes about something that's a little bit offensive, there's a place for him to go do that. And there's a place for other people to listen to other jokes that are a little bit more lighthearted. We all got to have our places.
You should have the choice.
Yeah, you should be able to have the choice. So if you're offended by transgender jokes, you don't watch Dave. You know, and I'm not saying that to say that people who get offended by transgender jokes are any less or soft or not. No, just that's what.
Avert your eyes.
Yeah, there's jokes that I get offended by, too. So I'm not going to look over there. I'm going to go over here instead, you know, because they're not going away. That's the thing. Like, there's never going to be a time in life where there's going to be this nothing that ever.
But offends. that's the concern. Like, that's the concern, though, is that we keep censoring these jokes. They're jokes, right?
As if you're going to get to that place, but you're not going to.
I know. That's what I wanted to hear from you. I'm really excited to hear that.
You're not. But it's, I mean, it's common sense. You're not going to.
I know, I worry if just as a just a guy watching television where jokes don't land. Jokes are inappropriate.
Yeah,
but they're jokes.
They are.
Have we just stopped understanding that we can't make fun of things like these days? Like, I don't get it. People are so fucking sensitive.
Well, and to your point though, like, jokes are jokes, and they'll have impacts with different crowds. You know, so
it's a fine line.
We can be offended
is this movement? What's this? Yeah. Who's pushing it? Yeah. Who's making this push? Who is it?
I don't know if we have time for that today.
Like, some people, and by the way, it's okay to be sensitive too.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Just don't watch Dave.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, like, please do yourself a favor. Just don't watch Dave or
watch. I would love to interview Clayton Bigsby at some point, for
example. Oh my God.
But you know, the interesting part about the Dave Chappelle thing, at least this is just my own take on it. He went in hard. He makes fun of everybody.
Yeah, everyone.
But then
if
you watch the whole thing and not just a little clip here, a clip there, or a spin here and a spin there, if you watch that whole episode, which I have, he actually comes back and he says, yeah, I had a trans person come and yeah. do, he introed me in my show.
I
and
was like, listening for that part, though.
I know. Like, yeah. Yeah. But so that's why I was just like, yeah. he's not really going after him like he has a, something with them. It was more of like, hey, I'm telling jokes. This is funny.
Yeah.
And here, by the way, I have a real story of a, an actual experience.
Almost like he was apologizing life. For the jokes within the same special. You know?
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, yeah. hey, guys, just so you all know, I actually yeah. had a relationship with a trans person who had a really but big impact in my life.
People are going to take that how they're going to take it, though. Yeah. Like, yeah. There's going to be the groups of people who are like, oh, you're only saying that because,
right?
You yeah. know?
Well, that's so, why it's interesting to talk to you about how you look at content, because if you create content for the masses, yeah. sometimes when you go to the fringe, it can be a little risque where you're a little bit like, shit, should, have you ever thought that? Like, I guess that's my question is,
yeah.
you create something, you're like, shit, should I post this? Like, right now?
yeah. Yeah, I've thought, yeah, I've definitely, like, hesitated to post things before, but then when I...
Go back you know, into who you are.
Go back into this who you me. Are. Yeah. And you remember, you're not making content for the masses. Yeah. You're making content for your boy Stubbs over here.
And that's, how, that's how it all started, like, right?
And you got to also know where you're coming from. Am I actually trying? Am I actually a dick? And that's a hard thing to...
I have an answer for him. But
you know what I mean? Like, that's a hard thing to ask yourself if you're not self-aware enough. Because yeah. there's a lot of people who are dicks... And yeah. don't know that.
Yeah.
That's a
yeah.
problem too, guys. yeah. That's a problem too. People yeah. who are just not self-aware and not know that they're a dick.
I think so, self-awareness, that's a good point.
Yeah, you got to have self-awareness. So you got to be able to honestly ask yourself, am I a dick? Am I trying to be a dick right now? And only you know the truth, because usually people who are dicks are going to say, no, it's not like that. Am I, though?
Right.
You know.
Do you know how to be yeah. a dick without being a dick?
How to be a dick without being a
yeah.
dick.
Yeah. Can you do comedy. Go into character?
Do comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. yeah. yeah. Just do comedy.
Yeah.
That's how you how you do it.
How do you
make a joke?
How do you create character? How does that process work in your head?
Usually, well, the first characters that I've done were based off of just funny people that I've come across. And I just over-exaggerated the shit out of them. And it's funny because some of those people would see the videos and have no idea. That character is made all about you.
Have you ever told anybody? Or is that?
Well, I haven't told people in specific, like, this character is about you. But I've told people, like, oh, yeah, that's actually you. Him over. Oh, shit, you're right. Wow. Yeah.
So, when you're living your life, yeah. like, let's just say a weekend like this, you're going out, having all these experiences, meeting all these people.
Yeah.
In your head, do you process it?
Yeah, like, you're starting to draw from. Do you draw personalities that you just randomly meet? Or,
well, it's funny you guys say that. I don't really go out. I suck at going out. I used to go out, but when I meet different characters and just real life characters yeah. and personalities, big personalities. Yeah, I register that, you know. Yeah. I take that down in my head.
You draw from experience. Yeah, human experience.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
It's almost and like now, a songwriter where they're taking notes and trying to create different lyric and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I'm not actively doing that when I'm meeting people.
No.
It's like I'll be writing something and I'll think, oh, there was that one guy that kind of seemed like, yeah, I'm going to like take some of him and put that into okay. this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of walking around with a notebook, I guess. Well, figuratively.
Figuratively, it's in your head. Right. Okay. Well, that's interesting. So let's pivot a little bit, because we talked a little bit about, you know, your following and how you got here. I'm really curious on the business side of what an influencer and how that world looks. So you again, business development, you're your own manager and you're your own creative. So you can answer all of the questions. So
can I?
I don't know.
I don't know.
He'll do the best he can.
I don't know shit.
Okay, good. So if anybody out there wants to be an influencer, you don't have to know shit.
You don't have to know shit. You just have to have internet that will answer things for you. That's it.
Yeah.
Nobody has to know anything ever.
For some, okay, maybe the answer or the question is for somebody starting out that wants a following, right, whether they can monetize it or they're interested in trying to be an influencer, tell us some quick tips and tricks that you could give somebody that to get a following.
Fuck. Now, I think the answer people would want to hear is be unique and be yourself. But I feel like to start off, you kind of have to jump on some trends and go viral in a trend, or you do something so outrageous in left field that it has to get attention.
So there has to be a spark, you know, to grab some eyes. Then you can be yourself.
That's what I think. Okay. I think because the influencers that I've seen pop up, They had one thing that just like took off. That's really, really different, you know, as opposed to people who just, you know, be themselves.
Yeah.
And it's funny to say people that be themselves doesn't really work out that well at first, but I think that's just the reality. Like, you gotta, the honest answer is I think you gotta do something outrageous and keep doing that. That's really, really different. Well, I guess that is being yourself in a way, if that is yourself.
If you can get there. I mean, some people are afraid to be outrageous. Right?
I can't really say I know the correct answer.
That's interesting, though, because you have 2 million people that follow your shit. And
Got my opinion on how I think it works.
It's fascinating, though, because you share with us his journey, your process. And if I'm listening correctly, yours kind of went like that, right? And now you now, in a way, and don't take this wrong, you can afford to be yourself.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, and that's fascinating.
Exactly. I mean, it's kind of the same with actors and stuff, too. You know?
Well, let's talk about acting, because if you don't mind, just to pivot in this, I wanted to talk about this distinction between acting and a social media influencer, because I feel like there are actors out there that just refuse to acknowledge a social media influencer, regardless if they're doing a skit or they're entertaining as an actor.
Yeah.
Can you dig in a little bit about that? Did you see a distinction between a social media influencer and an actor? Personally, or
actors are definitely more professional. Actors show up on time. Actors respect you. Actors put in real work for long periods of time. Whereas some social media influencers, not all, but some social media influencers will get famous a little bit too quick, and it's not a lot of work that was put in to get to where they are. So, you know, egos will happen a lot more often in social media influencer
world. Was there a skill set that you had to work on as a actor or social media influencer? Or, I mean, how do you measure?
Social media, you can't, I don't know.
No?
I don't know if anyone really knows. I feel like people just be talking like they know, and I don't think anyone actually knows anything about social media.
Yeah.
But including myself.
Yeah, it's still relatively new.
Yeah. But, I think there really isn't any rules with social media. It's whatever ends up working for you. And if one of that ways is watching how other people do it and kind of mimicking that, which I notice a lot of people doing, that will take its course. But the big differences that I've seen with actors and influencers is actors have put in the real work for a long time, whereas some social media influencers will catch breaks a little bit more often. And that doesn't, not to say that social media don't work hard. I know plenty that work their asses off, you know what I mean? Day in, day out. But, you know, it's just so much more common for an influencer to get famous quick and be able to
be a
little bit lazy.
Are you concerned that you've been categorized in one bucket as a social media influencer, so to speak? And if your goal was to be on the big screen, for example, and a star in a movie, do you think you're precluded from ever being able to do that because you've been labeled in Hollywood as a social media person versus an actor?
No, not at all. Because I used to think that way. I used to think, oh, man, if I'm a social media influencer, they're going to not take me seriously.
Yeah.
But I've learned that they don't care. They don't give a shit.
Eyeballs.
If you're famous, they're putting you in the movie.
Eyeballs and attention.
You don't even have to be a good actor. Fucking get in. Oh, you got how many followers? Get in.
We'll take
the influencer over the actor.
Yeah.
I swear it's happening, and it's gonna continue to happen
because of eyes.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to ask you. Where's the trend?
And that's frustrating for actors,
right?
That's why they'll hate the social. They got every reason to hate social media influencers. I'll be fucking pissed.
Yeah, you've been busting your ass.
I'd be fucking pissed. If I was an actor that's been working my craft since I was a child, and then I'm in an audition, and it's down to me and an influencer that's been an influencer for a year on TikTok, and they give it to him because he got 20 million followers dancing on TikTok, I'm going to be fucking livid.
Yeah.
And you think that's the direction we're headed?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it is.
So tell me, where do you want to go with your career? What are some next steps? What are some things we should keep an eye on over the next couple of years with you?
Well, for me, and like I said before, I'm a social media influencer, technically, that's my job description, I guess, when I fill it in. But
that's on your Tinder profile.
Yeah, it's like Marlon Webb, social media influencer.
And then you just put the videos instead of
male,
pictures.
5'8", social media influencer.
Oh, you're taller than Casey.
On driver's license, huh? But
every episode,
you're just making fun of his height.
Yeah.
Especially 5'8".
I have an older brother that's actually watching this right now, Andy. I'm sorry. He actually lived in Japan specifically. He's been there for almost 30 years, and the reason is I'm 6'3", he's 5'8", but in Japan he feels tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yes. I would do that,
height
too.
Height is a thing.
I would do that, too.
Marlon, I apologize. Sometimes he thinks we're interviewing him. So back to your answer. Sorry.
Yeah, go back. I'm sorry. We digress.
What was the question?
You're 5'8". No, I'm sorry.
No, we're talking about
your goals are. What are you looking for?
5'8 is like it's a funny height because it's not short.
No, yeah.
It's not tall.
Yeah.
But everyone that's 5'8 wants to be tall so bad. I want to be considered tall so bad.
Yeah.
But I can't. I know
we can make you look tall.
Yeah, you can make people that are 5'8 look tall. Yeah.
There's Tom Cruise in all those movies, man. He always looks like he's 6'4".
He's not 5'8". He's like
5'4", I think. Yeah,
he's 5'4". Yeah. But there's a lot of actors that are action star actors that are all 5'8" that I had no idea.
Yeah.
You're 5'8" too? What?
Yeah.
I thought it was way taller, but. Yeah, 5'8ers.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I digress. Going back to like your goal, where do you want to be in a year, or do you have an ultimate goal of, or what? Yeah. Do you have a sense of progression?
Back to what I was saying about being a social media influencer.
Yeah.
Yes, that is what I am.
Yes,
but I will not be doing trendy things. I don't really. It's not me. You know. Yeah. That's the main reason why I don't do it. It'd come off as fake if I just jumped in on some trends that were happening right now, or if I tried to be relatable in some way. Mm. You know, granted, some videos will come off relatable if somebody had that experience, but I prefer just writing an organic sketch or making a skit based off of something that actually happened. And that's just funnier to me. But I also want to kind of transition from putting out social media styled videos to putting out videos that have a little bit more of a cinematic feel, and also characters and jokes that can live somewhere else besides Instagram, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's been the process for the past year.
Do you have a website?
Yeah. No, okay. I don't.
Interesting.
I should, right?
You would think so, where you can archive stuff and again, you create a saleable asset.
I just have a Vimeo and, you know, places like that to archive content. But yeah. I have been talking about apps and websites with a few different people that...
Just because then, again, you are to some... You're beholden to the Instagram, to the platforms, mm-hmm. where if you can drive stuff back to something that you control and own...
You're in a position where you can... Yeah, you can become your... Again, you can become your own and drive that own force where you're not limited to one platform.
But I think the goal right now is to be taken seriously as an actor, as a writer, as a short film maker, filmmaker... So, and that'd be the hard part, coming from a social media background. If you see that I'm a social media influencer and I got my short film in this film festival, it's like, social media influencer made a short film? Okay, I mean, it's probably not good.
What about this natural transition that I tend to see? Correct me if I'm wrong, but like, for example, the star actor for so many years, and the ultimate goal for them is always they want to be a director. They want to win an award as a director versus an actor. Do you sense that? Is that kind of a natural progression where you don't necessarily need to be on the forefront and in front of the camera, but you want to be delivering art in different manners and not necessarily having to be the one that actually acts or entertains? Or do you want to remain the entertainer?
Well, I like doing both. Mm. I like doing both. And I can't say I'm necessarily in it for trophies because trophies are starting to become more political.
Yeah.
But it's more so to be able to do exactly what I want to be doing and be taken seriously doing that, and make a decent living out of that, doing that for.
Let me ask you a question on you as the person behind the all of the content. Is this a this type of interview you had mentioned? It's not something that you typically do. What role does that play when you start to open up to say, hey, this is who Marlon Webb is, the human behind all these different characters? Does that is that any concern, or is that any, like, how do you look at that? Because you are your brand.
Yeah.
So opening up and telling people, you know, where you came from and how you look at social media and influencing and even your future and what you want to do. Is there, walk me through how you think about that.
There, so it used to be concerning, but not so much anymore. And this is going back to when, you know, you have some experiences with depression and checking in with yourself and am I who I think I am? The identity crisis you have with yourself, right? And I didn't like doing podcasts specifically because I was still in a place where I was a social media influencer acting like a social media influencer.
You've lost your identity and didn't know who you were.
Yeah, but I also, I felt like me being Marlon Webb, Marlon Webb is a character. So I have to keep being that character. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I would do podcasts and I would...
In character.
In almost in a different version of myself, a higher energy version or a more jokey, ha, 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 ha,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And is that, that feel like where you're always on? Is that, does that wear on that, you?
Yeah, that's got to be.
Yeah, that
that's
did.
Gotta that's gotta be exhausting. Why, and that's why you
that's
crashed.
Why I stopped. Yeah, that's why I kind of stopped doing that, just because it was just exhausting playing a character.
Right.
And also a part of that was insecurities of me being myself, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I used to feel like if I just be myself completely, people might not like that, you know, because I'm not high energy. I'm not always telling jokes. I'm kind of just a pretty regular person, you know?
Well, it's fascinating. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm a pretty regular person. And then one of the most common things people would say to me when they would meet me in public or recognize me in public and take a picture, be like, hey, you're not like how you are in the videos.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's disappointing.
Yeah. What did you want? I mean, we still got time.
You want me to dance? it was funny. I was with Marquette King at the draft, at the NFL draft this year.
Yeah.
And we went through, there was a bunch of Raiders fans, and I don't know, 20 or 30 people ran up to him. And one of the guys was the adult. His kid was right there. He goes, do your dance. And I'm looking
that's
at
a
Marquette.
Weird question to ask.
Well, yeah, because, you know, there was this thing where he kind of jumped like on a horse because he made a good punt. Yeah. But it was like, I sat there and went, fuck off. Like, what are you talking about? Do your dance. But from this goes back to the role of social media as it relates to mental health. I would say it's interesting. Marquette, as an example, he is naturally introverted, quite frankly. He is a natural introvert, and yet on his social media platforms, everybody sees him and assumes he's extroverted.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when they would meet him in person, they go, well, why won't you dance?
Wait, hold on. You mean somebody's different on social media than in real life?
Yeah. Could you imagine that?
Whoa.
Can you imagine that?
Mr. Northwestern coming in
left field. And that disrupts their mental health. Whoa. It disrupts their mental health. It's a problem.
What a great insight. Jeez.
And we've come with a solution here. The solution to this is... Thank you, Tony. Yeah, thank you. The solution is be yourself. The solution is be yourself.
When you just be yourself, you can't really go wrong.
No. I can, but yes, most people can't.
You can't really go wrong. But that's the thing, you know you can, so that's why you can't.
Yes, that's
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think like the takeaway, or one of the big takeaways for me at least, was seeing that social media, not everything is perfect for everybody, and then coming out of it is actually being yourself made you happy. Right?
Yeah.
Is getting comfortable with yourself and then being yourself even on an influencer level really created some real happiness where now you can open up, talk about yourself as like a real human so people can understand who the real, you know, who the you is, right?
Yeah.
Like
you feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You live a different life. Is there, have you seen that translate into your life? Do you feel different? Like, cause again, this is your job, but it's also a life that you want to live outside of, you know, just the social media stuff. Do you feel, you know, you're in the direction that you want to be in?
Yeah.
With it? Okay.
Definitely. Just being more comfortable with myself and taking risks and just trying to be unapologetically myself and just whatever character that I actually want to be, I could be that character.
Yeah.
You know, because at the end of the day, we're all characters. Like
all the world's a stage.
Yeah. We're all characters. And each one of us, this is the character that we chose because this character is ourselves. Yeah,
that is super interesting. Yeah, actually, it's true, right?
If you say like you got an avatar and you dress it how you want to dress it, and you tell it to make the moves that you want to make.
We really are all characters.
We're just all characters. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
In a different world, I could know what you know and you could know what I know. It's just characters making decisions.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's just characters making decisions. I like that a lot.
Yeah. And then we're just here in buildings and making stuff and doing things.
Starting to go philosophical.
Getting money. Yeah. Well, I mean,
it kind of is.
I know you didn't know this, but I just quoted Shakespeare. All the world's a stage and we are merely players. That's Shakespeare. You're supposed to read that at Bellarmine.
We're getting back to you again, huh?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Cool. Well, look, we really appreciate you coming down. This has been a really fun hour.
It's already over?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah, it's already, literally already been an hour.
That was an hour. That was so short.
Oh, good.
Life is short. But this is where I get to take a moment and step into a podcast character. Mm. First of all, I'd like to thank you for being here.
Yeah.
And to our audience, we're on every platform, Marlon. We're on YouTube. We're on Instagram. We're on all the things that you need to be on to have a career. Mm-hmm. We're also trying to create a career. Mm-hmm. And so, audience, listen, continue to DM us questions, response. We love engagement. It's been really good. But again, thank you for being here. Yeah, download, like thank us, you. Do all that stuff. And in the meantime, let's have a good dinner tonight. And you can take whatever character you want to dinner tonight. We grant you that artistic license, but please be yourself, have fun.
But follow Marlon Webb on Instagram, YouTube, and Vine. No, I'm kidding.
It's pretty much TikTok.
TikTok.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Follow him. Leave comments because I really want to make sure he's really not looking. I'm gonna follow up with him on that. I'm gonna follow you and I'm gonna leave comments every single time.
Just like quiz me, just randomly.
Yeah, we're gonna test your mental health.
That's right.
But, thank you. Thank you very much. And this audience, this wraps it up for another Flip Your Friday, and deeply appreciate it.
Thank you guys. Thank you. This is fun.
Awesome.
Good combo.
Awesome. That's a wrap.
All right.